To Italy now, where Prime Minister Mario Draghi has officially announced his resignation. And unlike last week's attempt, it's actually been accepted this time. The country's president, Sergio Mattarella, has dissolved Parliament, clearing the way for new elections in September.
Ho firmato il decreto di scioglimento delle Camere.
I have signed the decree to dissolve Parliament so that new elections can be called within 70 days as required by our constitution. The early dissolving of Parliament is always a last resort choice, particularly as it is the case in this period. The Parliament has many important tasks to complete in the interest of our country. But the developments in the political situation have led to this decision.
Italian President Sergio Mattarella speaking earlier. Current polling suggests far-right parties will perform strongly in this coming poll. Francesco Galeotti is the CEO of Policy Sona. It's a Rome-based consultancy specialising in political risk and scenarios analysis. Welcome to the program.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for hosting me.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us on the show. It's been a chaotic week in the Italian Parliament. Why has Mario Draghi finally had his resignation accepted?
Well, you need to understand the conditions under which Draghi was operating. Draghi is almost godlike, but he was facing very strong headwind. He was given in a parliament that was elected in 2018 at the peak of populism. And the two largest parties in parliament, by the way, the ones who pulled the plug on him, they are anti-establishment. So you had this paradox of a darling of the establishment, the darling of the establishment, Mario Draghi, heading a cabinet backed by an anti-establishment parliament. So Draghi, in his own way, was defying gravity, but he could only take so much of it.
So is his time as leader now over for good?
His time is over good. He is now overseeing a smooth transition. So, in other words, he has accepted to stay in power for standard business until the next elections, until a new cabinet is sworn in. But that is it.
Before resigning, Mario Draghi held a confidence vote in the Senate. What was the point of that, and what did it tell us?
Draghi delivered a very strong speech. He was very uncompromising. He led out very clearly his priorities, so the reforms, the do's and the don'ts. He said very clearly that he was there to do things, not just to buy time. And that is actually when it became very clear that the parties were not willing to back his reforms. He said he's willing to supply Ukraine with arms, and at least two parties, Five Stars and the League, are actually against it. They won't say it very clearly, but they are against it. And then Draghi, I mean, he mentioned many reforms. I mean, like the petition decree, and even petty stuff like beach concessions, taxi drivers. Draghi said very clearly he's there to do serious stuff, but he ended up confronting parties who were more interested in, well, defending petty little interests.
A chorus of voices abroad and in Italy appealed to Draghi to stay on as Prime Minister to ensure progress was made on economic reforms. How has this news been received in Europe, and what does it mean for Italy's ability to secure more coronavirus recovery funding?
Listen, until Draghi was there, we had this incredible gift of stability and credibility. I think very few have realized what we are up to now. The spread will go up. The debt will become even more expensive than it already is. Chaos will be all over us. Very few have realized it yet. I think that what we're seeing instead is parties itching for elections, with a very strong appetite, assuming that they will win the elections and run the country. But let's see. Let's see. I think that what is expecting us is turmoil, financial turmoil. I think that as long as Draghi is the PM, capital markets accept to trust Italy. But the moment he's gone, this changes everything.
Now, after the resignation, the president, Sergio Mattarella, dissolved parliament, opening the path to holding an early election in September. A number of far-right parties are tipped to perform strongly. Talk me through that the political sentiment in Italy at the moment and why we're likely to see the success of these far-right parties.
You know, I'm not that sure that we will have a far-right government. I look at all available polls, but first of all, we have 40%, even more, of non-respondents. So lots of disenfranchisement, lots of undecided people. And then the other thing is our electoral system is not a pure proportional representation system. We don't have pure PR. We have a hybrid system in which two-thirds of the seats in parliament are allotted through PR, but one-third is first past the post, which means that even if, on average, you are very strong, if you perform poorly in a first past the post constituency, you're doomed. So we need to see the devil here really is in the details. So we need to see that. And then again, it's going to be 2 months of campaigning. We're just literally at the beginning of it. This is completely unprecedented. This will be a campaign fought on lots of geopolitical items on the agenda. We will be campaigning basically on Ukraine, on Russia, on China, on NATO. We have never had that before. I mean, like, it's been a long, long while. So believe me, I wouldn't take anything for granted right now.
Thank you so much for joining us, Francesco.
My pleasure.
Francesco Gallietti is the CEO of Policy Sonar. It's a Rome-based consultancy specialising in political risk and scenarios analysis.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.